Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circling seas, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams that dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams that dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher, 33. And Wednesday. Day behind. Wednesday, June the 17th. Wednesday, June the 17th of 2015. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. Today, my brother, today, my sister, we want to talk about intention. As you know, the world that we live in is controlled by this one word, intention. However, there's a saying that goes like this: the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So what does that mean? How can good intentions produce bad results? Well, since I'm an expert at having good intentions, but those good intentions some kind of way keep manifesting bad results. So if you got good intentions, why in the world do you keep getting bad results? Especially when it comes to relationships. We look at relationships and we know in relationships, whether that relationship is with money or whether that relationship is with your spouse, whether that relationship is with your coworkers at work, we all have to relate. We all are part of these relationships. But the problem with relationships, the problem with intentions, is at the beginning. Remember in a relationship when you first fall in love, that honeymoon stage is all mystical and magical. Everybody feels, you know, all lovey-dovey, and you feel like it's going to last forever. Then the reality sets in of the day-to-day life, of having to actually pay bills and having to make ends meet. And the thing that happens is, with the best and most loving intentions, love continues to die when problems that are uncovered or problems that are not uncovered tend to surface. What does that mean? That means when you start something with good intentions and you start it off and it starts off great, that atmosphere that you created of love is actually an atmosphere where problems can be exposed. Problems stay hidden anytime there is chaos and confusion. Once chaos and confusion is removed, deep-seated, deep-rooted, hidden problems that's been buried because you got to address bigger issues. The brain departmentalizes issues or problems. And your intention, regardless of how good it is, when you have a good intention that starts to create a good environment, then the underlying unresolved intention surfaces to destroy that new environment. Not talking about something I read of a book. This just happened to me. If anybody knows what's going on with my situation right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That was a proverb that was said by this Saint Bernard said in way back in the day, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, but the road to heaven is full of good works. Another way, on a different way of saying it, is hell is full of good meanings, but heaven is full of good works. So what sabotages good works when you have good intention? The thing that sabotages good works is old intentions or old works that have not been resolved. If you bury, if you procrastinate, if you are lazy, if you basically hide a underlining psychological issue, a underlining moral issue, a underlining financial issue, a underlining health issue, any type of an issue that you hide and move on. And then you meet somebody, your intentions are good, but you got an underlining issue that's hidden, and it's buried beneath the surface. So the subconscious brain keeps it there until the environment is safe to release it. So all of the psychological studies, when we look at the effect of the intention upon a task, that was a professor by the name of Peter Goldwitzer, G-O-L-L-W-I-T-Z-E-R, Goldwitzer. Peter Goldwitzer, and he talks about that this problem usually happens to people who are like me, perfectionist. So if you're listening to today's show and you are a perfectionist and you have you got good intentions, you start stuff, you meet people, man, your heart is like gold. You got good intentions, but you are a perfectionist. If you are a perfectionist, because you are a perfectionist, you are always judging your intentions, and you are always trying to perfect your own actions. They are well-intended, but they're never perfect. By definition, if you are a perfectionist from a psychological personality profile perspective, you strive for flawlessness, excessive high performance. Flawless. So I'm a perfectionist, so I want my business to be flawless. If not, I feel my self-worth is lacking. I want my relationship to be flawless. If not, I subconsciously sabotage it. Let me say that again. If you are a perfectionist, at the root, you're looking for a flawless relationship. You're looking for a flawless, why do I go to the gym and exercise like a madman? Why am I on the computer 16 hours a day? Perfection. The pursuit of perfection. The pursuit of perfection, my brothers and sisters, is it masks something. Perfectionists are perfectionists because they are masking a underlining psychological issue. That is lack of self-worth. This lack of self-worth are not appearing equal. As I talked about on a show many times, one of my good friends, good friend of mine, good client of mine, told me, "Doc, look a man in the eye. May not be better than that man, but you're just as equal." Some, a simple statement that said, you're just as equal. You may not be better than you, but you're not less than. You're just as equal. For someone who didn't grow up hearing that type of encouragement, that was a landmark moment. But that also released landmark problems. So to the degree that you feel loved is the degree that you can address underlying issues. Let me say that again. If you are in a relationship, me and my wife are going through some serious issues. My wife created a loving environment. That loving environment made me feel safe to go and address underlying issues that she knew nothing about. And now those underlying issues are popping up. And if those underlying issues that are mine are not addressed, those underlying issues will sabotage and destroy every relationship I've ever done, because you keep repeating the test until you pass the test. So good intentions are sabotaged by underlining hidden issues that was never addressed. Now, I'm using the word issues because I want to keep this on a GP. I don't want to get too into these deep psychological terms. But basically, from a psychological perspective, when we're looking at issues, we seek to establish ethical behavior. This ethical behavior is counterproductive when the underlying point of view or issue for a perfectionist, because what happens is the underlying issue sabotages your new pursuit. Because the underlying issue, again, is an underlying issue because it is something that you are embarrassed of. It's usually something that happened to you that you owned that's probably not yours. So certain things happened to me as a kid that wasn't my fault. But I thought it was my fault. And so I owned it. Therefore, I tried to solve it. It was this problem of trying to solve an issue that wasn't mine. As a child, one of the things that happened to children is when the parents divorce or go through an issue, the child blames themselves as the cause for the parents or the marriage being dissolved. Why are good intentions not good enough? The intention is the start. You got to have an intention. Let me give you an example. If there are five birds sitting on a dock, one of the birds decides to fly away. How many birds are left sitting on the dock? Let me ask the question again. There are five birds sitting on the dock. One of the birds decides to fly away. How many birds are left sitting on the dock? One more time. Five birds sitting on the dock. One of the birds decides to fly away. How many birds are left sitting on the dock? Everybody I know would answer four. There's five birds. One decides to fly away. That answer would be incorrect. If you answered four, that is incorrect. Because making a decision to fly away is not the same as actually flying away. There are still five birds sitting on the dock. Just because you make a decision or you got good intentions to fly doesn't mean you actually put forth the energy and flapped your wings and flew. If you don't understand the difference between intention and action, your life will end up like mine. You'll be in deep kimchi. See, this is very important, my brothers. Despite all of the Dr. Dwayne Dwyer, great book, The Power of Intention. I've read that book at least three times. Powerful book, The Power of Intention. As you guys know, philema, the Greek word will, intention. I've done many shows on intention. But sometimes we get so metaphysical, we get so high in the clouds that we're so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. So I had good intentions and they all stayed in the cloud. My feet never touched the ground. I never took no action. So you can have all the good intentions that you want. You can sit on the side with those birds, and you can decide to fly, but until them wings flapping, until you take off, and until you start moving in the air, you ain't flying. You got a good intention, you made a decision, but you ain't followed up with no action. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. The road to heaven is paved with good works. Faith without works is dead. You see, my brothers and sisters, just because you intend to fly doesn't mean that you are actually flying. Just because you intend to love doesn't mean that you're actually loving. Just because you intend to be nice doesn't mean that you're actually nice. Just because you intend to start a business doesn't mean that you're actually going to start a business. Just because you intend to be a good guy doesn't mean that you are a good guy. Just because you intend to be a good father doesn't mean that you are a good father. The decision to do something is not the same as actually doing it. It is something that is so simple, but is yet so profound, because if I understood this principle 2 days ago, I wouldn't be in the predicament that I'm in today. Simply because I intend to do something does not mean diddly squat in the actual pursuit of doing it. It's not what you dream about. It's what you do while you're dreaming. So let me ask you the question today, brothers. Let me ask you the question today, sisters. What are you doing today while you're dreaming? You want to make X amount of dollars? What are you doing today while you're waiting, while you're planning, while you got your purpose-based production? What are you doing today? What are you actually doing? See, there's a big difference between busyness and effectiveness. I'm an expert of being busy. You can call me and say, Doc, what are you doing? I'm busy, man. Let me ask you a question, brothers and sisters. Bro, you so busy, how much money are you making? So if you are busy, let me ask another question. If you're so busy, how much giving, how much attention are you giving to the people that are standing in your face? If you're so busy being effective and actually, you know, being productive, show me your fruit. You see, brothers and sisters, it's my prayer that nobody lies to themselves. You know, like I said, and I say this all the time, this is a dangerous thing. You can lie to other people all day, non-issue. But when you start lying to yourself, to the degree that I did for the last 8 years, there's going to be some what is called unforeseen bad consequences. You see, brothers and sisters, evil actions are often masked by good intentions. Even though the intention is good, when you pursue, when you start to do the action upon which you intended, the unforeseen underlining negative events that never was addressed show up. And they unexpectedly manipulate your behavior. Doc, what do you mean? So, let me give you an example. My first marriage didn't work. Got a divorce. Immediately after that divorce, met my current wife. All of the issues that I had in my first marriage was never addressed. I just filed them away. Figured they'd go away by themselves. Never once did I seek any counseling. Never once did I sit down and take time out. Never once did I spend some time alone by myself before going into another relationship. Let's talk about business. So I've started 23 different businesses. 23. Maybe three of which was marginally successful. So when I went from business to business, never once did I stop and ask, why didn't the last business work? Let me make sure everybody understands what I'm saying. You mean to tell me you're living your life? Now, you're going from relationship to relationship. You're going from job to job. I've had 45 different jobs. I never stopped and asked myself, what was it at job one before I went to job two? And then I job three. So I got 45 underlining demons, dispositions that I need to address. If I don't, when I get to the new job, and I start feeling good, I'm going to start acting bad. Because remember, whatever you buried in your past will not surface until the brain feels like you're in a comfortable environment for you to address it. So the minute you get a good job and you're doing great, all of a sudden you're going to start sabotaging that job, and you don't even know why. The reason that you're sabotaging that job is because there's underlying issues that you didn't address from the last job that you left. And the reason you're going to sabotage your existing relationship is because there's underlining you're a perfectionist. Otherwise, your intentions that you have wouldn't even exist. You say, Doc, what do you mean? What is intention? Where does it come from? Intention is just a fancy word for the word desire. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm talking about a men's shows. The word desire means to de, which means to sow. Sire means seed. The Bible says that we should be content. Godliness plus contentment is great gain. So every time you desire something outside of what you already have, you got to ask yourself a serious question, very serious question. Is this taking me towards God or away from God? Is this taking me towards my goal or away from my goal? Every thought that you have must be brought into captivity. You see, my brothers, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that has raised up against the knowledge of God. That's called your desire and your intentions, by the way. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Notice you cannot address your past issues until your current issue, until you are obedient. What does that mean? Let's break this down as we close. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, 5, and 6 is what I just read. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in the King James says, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So I cannot address my disobedience until I am obedient. And I'm not obedient because I left my disobedience before making or becoming obedient. What does that mean? That means I've been going from relationship to relationship without solving, without becoming obedient, without solving the underlying issue in that relationship. I've been going from job to job without understanding the underlying issue of why I left that job. I've been going from exercise routine to exercise routine without understanding the reason I left the previous routine. Now, I've done a lot of examination, and I do a lot of analysis, brothers and sisters. And in the areas of wealth, health, and wisdom, I found myself lacking. But in the area of relationships, I was severely lacking because I put all of my energy and all of my time and all my effort into purpose. So we cannot promote competency over caring. You cannot try to be a competent architect without being a caring architect. It is more important for you to care about the people in your architectural firm than it is for you to be the best architect in the firm. It's more important that you care about the people in your household than it is for you to be the best provider of your household. It is more important that you care about the people in your church than it is for you to be the best teacher, preacher in your church. Caring should override competency. Your intention should be to care, not to be competent. Big mistake I made. So I've been trying to be competent. My intention was to be competent. And every time I start to become competent, an underlying issue pops up that sabotages my competency because of my lack of focus on caring. So my intention should be to care, not to be competent. Because if I care, competency will come automatically. Because the purpose, the person, because the environment, because the job, because whatever you are caring about, the fact that you are giving, Yahushua says, when you've done it unto the least of the one of these, you have done it unto me. So how do I serve God? Now, brothers, this is really important. Sisters, this is really important. So I'm a man of God, right? I call myself Master Teacher 33. So I'm here. I'm on Blog Talk. I'm on anymean.com. I'm on Spreaker. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Tube Mobile. I got all these friends on Facebook. I'm doing all this great stuff, right? So I'm out having an impact on the world for the kingdom, bringing souls into the kingdom. That's my mission in life. And then the person that's standing right next to me, I don't have time. And this is so important that you understand this one concept. When we talk about intention, your intention must be for people, not buildings, not purpose, not stuff. Because God is in people. How do y'all worship God? By worshiping people. Not in no egotistical sense, by serving them. What did Yahushua say? When they asked him, Father, who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom? I don't really remember the story. You guys remember the story, and I forgot which disciples was asking them. They was asking him, who is the greatest in your kingdom? Do you guys remember what Yahushua said? He said, whoever wishes to be great among you, whoever wishes to be first will be last. He who wants to become great among you must first be your servant. And where do you serve? You serve the people that are right in front of you. Matthew chapter 20. I think it was 20. Yeah, Matthew chapter 20, verse 27. Matthew chapter 20, verse 27. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. See, I've been serving technology. I got 50 books and no marriage. So I've been serving. I've been putting all of my time and all of my energy into stuff. And Yahushua says, if you want to be great, you're going to be a slave. You're going to serve. So my brothers and my sisters, your intention, your good intention will not produce good results until you become a servant to your old intentions that was never fulfilled. And what I mean by that, I mean that you got to examine yourself and you got to break yourself down to the core and realize for me, it was a lack of self-worth, not a result of a childhood, being raised in a large family and not getting no attention. And so the desire to be seen and to be heard outweighs the desire serve and to care. The desire to be seen and be heard outweighed my desire to serve and to care. My desire to be seen and heard outweighed my desire to serve and to care. It is my prayer that everybody listening to this show take time out to examine your underlying intentions that are hidden. Right now, you got a goal. That's a good goal. Whatever your goal is, I know it's a good goal. Unfortunately, you will achieve that goal. And when you do, you're going to sabotage that goal. Unless, dig underneath and find out what is it that is driving me to pursue that goal. Why do I want to be perfect to the degree that I'm ignoring? You got a pet. You don't feed. You got a dog sitting back. Dog been in the backyard. You haven't took the dog for a walk. You haven't fed the dog. You haven't played with the dog. You haven't done anything with the dog because you ain't got no time. Why? You're pursuing your purpose. We talk about purpose all the time, but purpose means nothing if you can't love, if you can't care, if you can't nurture, if you can't cherish, and you can't validate the people who are validating and nurturing and serving and caring for you. My brothers and my sisters, good intention ain't good enough. With your good intention, caring, you need compassion. You need love. You need joy. You need peace. You need gentleness. You need meekness. You need self-control. You need the fruit of the Spirit. With all of your getting, with all of your goals, with all of your intention, you need to make sure that your intention is filled with a desire to serve the people that you see every day. The Bible says it this way: how can you love God whom you have not seen, and you hate your brother who you see every day? Let me say that again. We are all men and women of God. We all want, we're trying to put our best foot forward. But how can you love? How can you love God whom you cannot see? But we hate our brother. We hate our sister. We hate our supervisor. We hate the person serving us at the fast food restaurant. But we claim to love God. You see, brothers and sisters, 1 John 4:20, let's read verse 19. 1 John 4:19 says, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So my brothers and sisters, make sure that your good intention, that your intention is to love, to give, to nurture, to cherish, and to care. Because good intentions does you no good if that intention is not to love and care for the people that are loving and caring for you. My brothers and my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly avert to bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pocket. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you might snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Gotta dreaming at humanity and dizzy to a cell. And they trick these tales. Yeah. Why they locking up our brothers and they beating them in jail. Yeah. I don't know what you been saying, but my vision is to fail. Cause this dreaming is the reason I ain't breathing with this hell. They said I wanna go and run and gun it with the team. Yeah. They come up with the ghetto, getting money, grubbing schemes. Yeah. I know it's just a dream, cause brothers gotta wake up. It's all about the presentation when you about to take stuff. Delusions, dreams, it really doesn't matter. You better get your energy and put it in the